Tonight's passage of scripture comes from select verses of Acts 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If that reading sounded somewhat familiar to you, it's probably the first sermon, the first Christian sermon of the church that was preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and people were running around speaking in different languages, filled with the Spirit, and some of the bystanders thought people had to be drunk. And so then Peter stands up to address the crowd, and I hope Peter doesn't mind that I edited his sermon, something I'm sure most preachers wouldn't like. So if you want to go to Acts 2, starting at verse 14, and read the whole sermon, he has a lot of several long quotes from Psalms, and he talks about David, and there's some really good stuff in there, but it makes for a very long reading, so I edited that, and I hope he will forgive me. But the crowd's sort of trying to figure out what's going on. They know this Jesus was around. They know he was crucified. There was some rumor about resurrection. But people from all over the place are gathered in Jerusalem, and God all of a sudden pours out his Holy Spirit, and things are wild. Nothing is the same. And Peter stands up, and he shares with the crowd Joel's prophecy of what God will do when he pours out his Spirit on all people, men and women, boys and girls. And he reminds the people of this, that regardless of what happens, regardless of what's coming, regardless of what the end of the world may or may not look like, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he goes on to say, listen to this. This man Jesus, who performed miracles in your midst, and you saw them, and you experienced his teaching. And yet, because of your jealousy, because of your hate, because of whatever else was going on in your heart, you had him crucified. But even that terrible act, God used for his own glory, for our own good, because death couldn't hold Jesus Christ. The cross was not the final word that God had for his people, but the empty tomb was. And so now this Jesus is exalted, Peter tells us. And he has this promised Holy Spirit that he pours out on his people. And the crowd listening hears this message of this Jesus and his power and his resurrection and his Spirit in their lives. And they say, what should we do? And that's one of the things that grabs us in this passage, is that when we hear about Jesus, when we get a glimpse of him, when we see the tiniest bit of his glory, when we experience the little bit of his power, it commands a reaction from us. It's really hard to just be a passive bystander when Jesus is doing his thing. It calls to us to respond. What do we do? And Peter tells the crowd, repent. Come home. Turn around from where you are and focus your eyes right back where they belong, on Jesus. And be baptized. Be baptized in the name of Jesus with water, and even more so with the Holy Spirit. It's the gospel as we know it. It's the message of hope. And Peter goes on to say this, this promise is for you. And those words are true for us here gathered in this church tonight. The promise of this resurrection life, this promise of being reconciled back to God, this promise of God's Holy Spirit being poured out on us in power and making God known to us in a way that we've never known him before, is for us in this room. And if you kind of know Jesus from like an arm's length away, if you think he might be a cool guy, but you're not really sure what it means for your life, then this promise is for you tonight. Call on him. Look at him. Come home to him. Let him breathe his resurrection life, his Holy Spirit power into you. And if you know that, if that's something you've done, but you're a little tired and your life doesn't look exactly like you'd like it to look, and the cares and the worries and the stresses and the anxieties of this world and the situations of your life have sort of caused you to take your eye off that promise and look at what's around you, then that promise is for you tonight. And there's the same prescription. Come home. Turn around. Call on his name. Invite him in, because he's waiting. He's waiting to give you more and more of this life that he's promised you, where we're immersed in relationship with him, God Almighty, where he presses his love and his grace and his truth and his mercy and his strength into our lives. When he doesn't leave us on our own and says, okay, try as hard as you can, but instead pours out his Spirit in power, that we're no longer having to walk through life gritting our teeth and trying so hard in our own flesh, but we're invited to walk in the Spirit and experience life the way God designed it to do. It's another promise of God that Paul reminds us of, that the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that lives in us, is the Spirit that he longs to pour out into our broken, fragile, messy lives. The promise is for you. But then he goes on and he says this, and the promise is for your children. The promise is for your family. The promise is for people who are so far away from the kingdom of God, we think they'll never find it. The promise is for everyone that the Lord our God calls. And if we have come to the place in our lives where we have said, Jesus, you are it. You're what I want. You're my one desire. I am casting my lot in with you. I am going where you're going. I'm thirsty for your Spirit, for your presence in my life. If you've said that and you've experienced even the tiniest bit of what it's like to be loved by a holy God, if you've even eaten three crumbs of grace in your life and experienced the fullness and the wonder that that brings, then we have this desire for other people to know it. We talk a lot in the church about sharing our faith, about witnessing, we call it, about testifying, whatever name you want to call it. And sometimes we think that's something that we have to do in our own strength, right? In the middle of an everyday conversation, we summon up every bit of courage we have and say something really gospel-y to the people around us. Sometimes scaring them to death, sometimes chasing them away, sometimes them going, wow, how about those Phillies? Oh, how about not those Phillies? We want to do that in our own power. We want to bring people into the kingdom because, see, that's what happens when we take God up on that promise. That's what happens when we come home. That's what happens when we turn around and we say, Jesus, I want you. We enter the kingdom of God. It's not just some promise of some far-off eternity where every tear is wiped away when the world is as God meant it to be. Believe me, I'm not selling that short. I am all for that. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is among you. It starts now. And I don't know about you, but I want the people in my life to have that same experience. Not just so they can go to heaven, but I want my children and my grandchildren and my friends and the rest of my family to know the wonder of this awesome God who calls me friend. I long for the people I see struggling and hopeless and anxious and worried to know the Prince of Peace. To know the God who says, I'm with you no matter what. The God who said, as we talked about last week, who says to us, don't be afraid because I'm with you and I'll strengthen you and I'll hold you up with my holy, I did it again, left, right hand. That's the promise. That's the promise that's for us, but that's the promise that's for our children and for our family. And the people that we love. I have prayed for my children throughout the course of their life, very sporadically. And it's something that I am desperately sorry about. I am desperately sorry that I did not take advantage of the honor and the privilege that God has given me to pray for my children the way he longs for me to pray for them. But when my kids had a couple things happen in their lives that rocked me and shook their world, I did begin to pray daily, desperately, passionately for my children, claiming this promise of God. And I pray the same promise now for my grandchildren. That this promise of new life, this promise of resurrection life, this promise of friendship with Jesus, this promise of the Holy Spirit is for them. And I believe with all my heart that as I pray, I'm going to see the day when my whole family is praising God together with all their hearts. And so I'm reminded. I'm reminded of the power of claiming the promises of God. I'm going to tell you another confession. I have friends in my life that I love and that I long to see meet my friend Jesus. I long to see them jump into the fullness of what he has for them. I long for them to know that they are loved, that God is for them, that God is desperate for them to know him. But here's my confession. I don't pray for that. I don't pray for them. I don't ask God for opportunities, his spirit-led opportunities, not my clumsy, awkward, offensive opportunities. For God's opportunities for me to speak love and light and life into their lives. For him to provide ways for me to share what my relationship with him looks like in a way that's natural and life-giving and attractive. And so I just started doing that. I picked one of my friends and I started praying for her almost every day. Almost every day I asked God that he would let that promise be for her. That he would let her hear his voice. That he would burst into the sadness and the struggle of her life and be real for her. And that he would use me in that. That he would give me opportunity to be used by him. I just started doing that, so I don't know how that's going to work. But I do know. I do know that that's a prayer that God longs for me to pray. And I do know that there's power in praying like that. And we talk a lot about praying here because I believe that prayer is one of the most powerful, important things we could do. I believe God moves in our prayers. And again, I don't claim to understand why, because God could pick and choose whoever he wants and do whatever he wants in whoever he wants lives. But somehow when his children say, "Hey, Abba, can you move here? Hey, Abba, can you let me see you here? Hey, Abba, can you be real for me? Can you be real for this person today?" He moves in greater power. At my old church, I led worship for a little while for a program the church did called the Alpha Program. And it was a program that came out of the Church of England where people gathered in small groups of people and they ate dinner together and they watched a DVD from Nikki Gumbel, who's a pastor over in the Church of England, and then had discussion questions. And it was sort of like a Christianity 101. It dealt with the basic tenets of what Christianity is, and it introduced it in a really nice, non-threatening, around-the-table sort of way. And I led worship during that. And in one of the DVDs, and this struck me, and again, this is probably at least 12 or 13 years ago, and it stayed with me. In one of the DVDs, Nikki was talking about his experience with not only leading people to Jesus, but talking with people who had decided to give their life to him. And he said, "I have discovered this. As I get to know someone who has recently come to Jesus, there is always someone, at least someone in their lives who has been praying for them." You may know who's been praying for you in your life, but you may not know. I think of the prayers my mom prayed for me throughout her life, and I wonder about the power of them. And I wonder about how God is still answering those prayers in my life. And I want to do that same thing for my children. That I leave a legacy for my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren, and on until Jesus comes, whether that's soon or far away. I want to leave a legacy of prayer, laid down a foundation for them, that they would know this God I love. That he wouldn't just be their mother's God or their mom's God, but that he would be their God. And I believe that just like my mother's prayers are still being answered in my life, I believe God is going to continue to answer those prayers in my children and grandchildren's lives. It's an incredible honor that God gives us to be a part of this kingdom work. Not many of us probably get to lead our children to Jesus, but we can pray them to him. Its promise is for you, Peter says. It's for your children. It's for your family. And as we bind together and pray, who knows what God does through a mother's prayer, through a father's prayer, through a grandmom's prayer, or a pop-op's prayer, through a daughter's prayer, or a son's prayer, a sister's prayer, a brother's prayer, an aunt, an uncle, a niece, a nephew, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. Who knows what God might do in those prayers? If you have people in your family, in your inner circle, and the people that you love, that you are longing to really know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to kind of get those people or that person in your mind. If you really can't think of anybody that you pray for on a regular basis or that you should pray for, I'm going to ask you just to take a second and ask God to bring somebody to your mind, to put somebody on your heart that he would love for you to pray for on a regular basis. And as you're doing that, I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you to get up now and make a circle. And this isn't going to be our prayer for the people time. We're going to take prayer requests and pray together again in a minute. But I'd love us just to join hands and just to take a couple minutes just to pray together. Maybe to say the name out loud of the person or the people. You know, if you have one person on your heart, if you had 10 people on your heart, either way, it's awesome. But just to together, as the body of Christ, we can pray with and for one another as we pray for the people in our lives that we would long to see this promise of this new life be true for. So I'm going to ask you to gather in a circle.